Hey geeks, welcome to episode 82 of It's All Geek to Me Radio. I'm your host, Kate. On this episode, Em and I discuss the season finale of Arrow, which surprisingly we had rather differing opinions on certain things, which kind of makes for a fun hour. Toward the end of the hour, we talk a little bit of TV news, some summer premiere dates, and some really fun Agent Carter news. So stick around, sit back, relax, and enjoy the ride. This episode of Arrow. I just had issues with this episode of Arrow.
I had issues too, but then there was a lot of like happy things. Although I will say off the bat, I full out missed Roy.
Oh, I missed Roy like crazy.
I love Speedy Thea, but I do. I love her in that outfit. I want that outfit.
I know. It's pretty awesome. But I had a moment at that. Okay, we're getting ahead of ourselves talking about the end of the episode already. But, like, okay, and I don't do this very often, you know this, but I took notes.
So did I.
Oh, thank God. I feel like there's always one finale that you and I are like, I took notes for this.
Or I'm like, oh, hey, notes.
So, there were so many things that happened in this episode, and I'm not saying that it was a bad episode. I just had issues. And, like, from the beginning. So, did they pull this random claw-like ring out of the ether and go,
no,
hey,
it's been there.
Maybe I have seen it once before, but I don't remember it being that prominent.
I don't think it was ever that prominent, but I do believe it has existed.
So there were these like random shots in this where they would like zoom in on the ring.
Yeah.
I was like, I don't, okay, sure, whatever.
If you say so. I do have to say, though, in the very beginning, one of my favorite lines I think ever uttered by Malcolm Merlyn was, I believe the words you were searching for are thank and you.
Yes, that was fabulous.
I was so happy.
No, I know. That cracked me up. I believe the words you're looking for are thank and you.
And you.
I'm fairly certain I have a note that says, and Malcolm saved their lives. Ugh.
Hey, I kind of love Malcolm Merlyn, not only because it's
John Barrowman,
JB, because we all know my feelings on JB, but I also kind of love him because he is so ambiguous and not like a good guy, but not a bad guy either.
Yeah, and I even wrote that. I was like, so, like, the most untrustworthy character is trying to be a trustworthy character. Like, you're straddling the line here very well.
Which I love.
Yeah, I think it's great.
Because it's nice having someone who sees things in shades of gray.
How many shades of gray? Oh, we're not going to go there.
So way more than half a hundred. I would not take the bait.
I tried.
But no, I really love that about his character, especially because he was so villainous in the first season, but they still somehow continually managed to humanize him.
Yeah, they do. You're right. I mean, he was a villain back then, so I'm not going to say, like, I loved his character. But I really liked his interactions with, like, Moira and the relationship the two of them had, past that they had, and it does humanize him, you're right. It's
well,
cool.
Not only that, but, like, the entire time that he's doing his villainous crusade, he keeps hearkening back to the fact that he's doing this because of his wife, and he wants it to be better, and he doesn't want anyone else to go through that, and sometimes you have to, like,
right,
clean the slate before you can start over.
Right.
So, still, like, don't like you mass murdering people, but at least your heart is kind of in the right place.
Yeah. I really do like his character. I think, you know, any reason to give John Barrowman more Comic-Con time is a good thing.
Any reason to give John Barrowman more of anything is good for me.
Very hopefully he's going to be at New York Comic-Con this year. That'd be great.
Please and thank you.
I just, because I've never actually sat through one of his panels, and I would really, really like it. I also have, I'm on a mission. I know we're going off a little off topic. I'm on a mission to ask a question at a panel at New York Comic Con this year, and I'm going to blow everyone's mind because it's going to be a decent question and not like, hey, what's your favorite scene to shoot with Chris Evans?
Who do you like to make out with most?
Who's the best kisser? I'm going to ask a good question, I promise.
But yeah, no, that's what I freaking love about his character is they've put, especially over the past 3 years, they put on so many layers. Except I will say the one episode where they had the flashback where he came home to Tommy seemed a bit forced.
Yeah. Okay, yeah.
Because I always felt like he was an absentee father to Tommy. Not that he was a bad father, but I didn't feel like he was one to come home and read him a story.
Right, and that was, that. You're right, that was just so bizarre. They tried to humanize him too much there.
Yeah.
And it just pushed the envelope. So I don't know. But I think they're doing a good job with his character and they should keep going with that. Speaking of flashbacks, that was one of my biggest beefs with this episode. There were too many flashbacks for a finale.
I can't.
I understand where they're, like, this show has always been flashback heavy.
I mean, that's
general.
Part of the structure in general that makes
right,
it
Right, and it's part of the story. So, like, we have to go back in time and see what Oliver did on the island and what he did in
Hong Kong.
Yeah, and everywhere. I understand that. But this episode in particular, every time we would go for another flashback, was right at a point where, no, I want to stay in the present and I want to see what's going to happen, which was probably
like
the point of them to go back to the flashback, to, like, keep the suspense in the episode and all of that. But you also only gave us a one-hour finale. And you're gonna fill it with all of these flashbacks.
Flashback is their thing. That's always been their structure. They're always gonna do it, and it's fine. Except I feel like they dragged out the Akiko death storyline for like 6 episodes, and I was like, I could have done it in 2, folks.
Yeah, they did. They hung on to that plot line for too long. I didn't need that much information. Is the other thing. I felt like what was in those flashbacks could have been summed up in fewer.
Right.
So they gave me, that's it. I think it could have been summed up in fewer.
Right.
To give it a positive spin, I was very excited to see Barry for like a split second.
I have a note which literally just says, Barry!
Mine says, hi, Barry.
And then it says, no, why must everyone I love leave?
But, I mean, he shows up to the jail cell and he's like, wow, this is like a real live dungeon. And Felicity calls it Barry, and this is my favorite line of the episode.
Right.
Thank you, Felicity. You just gave away my secret identity to a supervillain.
Yep.
No offense.
It was quite good.
So I know that I need to watch The Flash, and maybe I'll add it to my summer watch list.
I have to catch up. I'm behind several episodes.
Yeah, but I haven't watched. I watched the pilot.
I know.
So
I know.
I really need to catch up. I need to find somewhere to. I need to find it. I don't know where
CW
I can find
app.
It. Oh, all of it, or
I don't know.
Okay, I'll look into that. But I'll add it to my. I only have 2 summer shows that I watch currently, and that would be Hannibal and. Orange is the New Black. So that's currently there. That may change.
Gotcha.
But I will try to watch through that. Considering I'm going to have all of August off, I will try to catch up on The Flash. But it was very nice to see Barry for 2 seconds.
Yes.
I was a little bummed that it was only for 2 seconds.
I know. Like, but he had other things to do. And they did explain away why he wasn't going to be there quite well.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's got shite to do with Harrison Wells.
Shite.
Yes. I'm keeping it PG-13. He had shite to do.
Thank you.
I try.
This is a fun note that I have. So, it appeared pretty quickly that Oliver and Nyssa were in it together to take down Roz.
Yes.
And I wrote this note. It's totally going to make you laugh. So in their marital bed, did Oliver and Nyssa conspire to take down Roz?
Probably. That was the other thing. That is exactly what I thought, actually. Because I was like, she did not know until apparently, like, when he threw the sword. Like, when did we discuss this?
Exactly. Where did we have this conversation?
I mean, the only thing I can think of is when he was like, she didn't do it. She just went, oh, okay. Like, let me help.
Me? I don't know. But that was my, like, I went, wait, is this, when they, when did we have this? Anyway, I'm okay with it. I'm perfectly okay with it. I like Nyssa's character.
So do I. I also, and this is later on in the episode, but because we're focusing on Nyssa love, I absolutely adored when she turns to freaking Laurel and goes, I am a really good teacher. I have never loved that character more. And I've always, like, pretty much liked Nyssa, but that moment I was just like, yes.
Yeah, she's a pretty good character. And it's interesting to see her as a minor character, because she showed up, when she showed up, I don't remember the exact episode when she showed up.
I know she showed up in season 2 with Sarah.
Right, but it was with Sarah, right?
Yes, she showed up to come get Sarah.
I knew Sarah was involved. So, but if you look at her character progression, even from that, like, she's still this out for revenge,
yes,
kind of character, but she had the ability to join forces with Oliver and the rest of the Arrow team to take down her dad.
Right.
But then again, so did Malcolm Merlyn, and now he is the head of the League of Assassins.
Yeah.
Which, part of me didn't see that coming until Oliver handed in the ring. And I was like, oh, that was an interesting handoff. And then, and Oliver's little, like, that depends on what you do with your part of the bargain line. And I went, what?
Well, yeah, as soon as he handed him something, I'm like, what's happening? What's going on? Something is a happening.
Can I also ask another question? Maybe I missed this. When did Oliver learn to fly?
Oh, they discussed this before.
I don't recall.
In season 2, they discussed this. Because remember when they're flying back from the island? And Ollie goes, I'll fly. And Felicity's like, when did you learn to fly? He never said when, but it's been brought up before that he does know how to fly.
Yeah. Okay.
So that's not completely out of left field.
Touche. I just I had a moment of, wait, when did he?
Yeah.
This is another one of my favorite lines, because it's such a good dig for Felicity. Nyssa looks happy. You guys on your honeymoon? She didn't say it like a jilted lover or, they didn't take her to that level. They were just like, you're just mad.
I want to point out, in several places I have Ray notes. One is, I kind of like Ray's jacket. And then a little further on I go, no, I kind of like Ray when he's not Ray Lissandy.
I know. I had that moment, too, toward the end when he says to her, I guess I need to look for a new executive for his company. And I was like, I kind of like Ray when he's not trying to be
Ray Lissandy.
In Ray Lissandy. Yeah.
It was when he was talking to her about something. I think it might have even been in his snarky comments in the dungeon. I was like, I like you.
Yeah.
But and it's not when you're trying to be Ray Lissandy.
No, because, and if I look back on the rest of the time with him, I look at my relationship to that character and I just go, yeah, I kind of hated you at the beginning, but that's because you were trying to get Felicity.
Yeah,
I didn't look past that to how interesting of a character he really is and how, like, sassy and funny. He's almost Coulson-level sassy.
But, like, the thing is, like, everything he did in those first few episodes was to get Felicity. Like, exactly. Even when he wasn't trying to get her, he was trying to get her.
Exactly.
Don't mess with my ships.
If there's one thing you don't mess with, it's one of our ships.
It's
and definitely... Definitely don't literally sink one.
Stop it. I have such mixed feelings. I want to love him.
I also have a gripe with the name Damien Dark.
Why?
Because it's... Like, you couldn't try harder.
No.
I mean, I know it's comic book land and that this is a commonality with comic book villains. They can be kind of literal with that. But Damian Dark?
Yeah.
His last name is Dark. I mean, come on.
Speaking of characters we didn't get to see nearly enough.
Yes.
Papa Lance.
Oh, yeah. So I have another thing with that. So the little conversation that Laurel and her father have, the whole, like, we're drunks conversation.
I don't believe her. Him, I fully believe.
And that's, I was going to say that. For the first time, I'm actually feeling that, like, that they're having this issue. And I do, yeah. Paul Blackthorne, I believe 100%. And we're not going to jump on the we don't like Laurel Lance train, because we've done that
too many times.
Because
that'll be a whole other episode.
Yeah. We've done that too many times. The character's just not redeemable for me.
And not well written.
And not well written, no. I feel like they need to give Katie Cassidy something.
Right. But I just have to say, like, that whole scene with her side, him in that whole scene where he's like, I've got it under control. I only have 2 drinks a day. I was almost crying. I was like, no, Daddy Lance, no.
Yeah. I think that was a good addition for their relationship, because
right.
Their relationship is so screwed up right now. And you can see that he wants to do the right thing. And ultimately he does in the episode where he calls
Felicity.
Yeah, and they figure out that the bioweapon needs to be taken care of and all that stuff. Like, he figures
not
out
only
that Laurel was telling the truth.
So, not only that, when he calls Felicity to be like, hey, I can't stop this, come get your boy.
Yeah, that moment was interesting.
Especially when he was like, I may not trust or like him right now, but I don't think he should die when he's trying to save the city.
Right, I don't want him to die.
And I was like, he does have a heart. Which we always knew, because I love me some Papa Lance.
You have an interesting love for Paul Blackthorne.
I love him so much.
He's great. I think he's a great
actor.
But
not in the way that, like, most people mean when they say, like, I love him. Like, I just have immense amounts of respect, and he brings joy.
I have that for several actors and actresses.
He brings me joy.
I have that for several actors and actresses. It doesn't have to be this, like, romantic attraction. You can just be in all of their work. It's
well, yes,
loud.
I know. But I know, and I agree with that, but I feel like a lot of times when people are like, I love so-and-so, when it's an actor, they generally mean, like, hey, I want to have your babies.
Oh, yeah. Well.
I don't need to have Paul Blackthorne's babies, but I'd love to hang out with him and his babies.
Yeah, that would be fun.
I would like to go on a Sunday picnic with all of them.
Oh, my goodness. I have a note here that says, is the Atom ever going to get his own show?
Well, he's going to be on that Futures of Tomorrow thing.
Yeah, I know. But I just think it would be like, you know how Marvel does the one-shots?
Yeah.
They need to do an Atom one-shot.
Yeah.
That's like a half hour long.
Although I do have to say, when they did the whole thing with him at the end, where he goes kaboom.
Mm-hmm.
But he's like, I'm going to try to shrink things.
Ant-Man.
And I know this is so terrible. I know this is so terrible. But I was like, oh, we got to shove this in before Ant-Man happens, so nobody thinks
exactly.
We're copying them, because they already thought we copied Iron Man.
Exactly. No, that was my exact note that I have sitting here. I went, wait. So who are you, Ant-Man? You're gonna try to miniaturize yourself? Wait.
Well, I mean, that's always been the Atom spiel, but I just feel like I just found it funny because they were doing it and they just kind of like, I felt like that was kind of like shoved in
right
at the end of the show. And I was like, this is so people aren't like, well, we had Ant-Man. Like,
exactly.
No, we were first. We were first, guys. We
and
were
then
first.
Here's my question. He like blew up his office. So did he blow up? Where's Ray?
He'll be fine. He's going to be on that other show.
Yeah. Okay.
Even
we,
if he dies.
We know that, but how?
Guys, then Rory will come save him. Which, how funny is it that Arthur Darvill is playing a time traveler? Just saying.
Yeah.
He's kind of got that gig locked down.
So my other rather large complaint with this episode is that it ended way too happily and with way too many loose ends tied up. And I know how stupid that sounds, because we as Felicity shippers have always wanted this. We've always wanted them together. But
Kate doesn't like happy.
No, it's not even that. I want those two characters happy. That's always the end game with with a ship. You always want them together and you want them happy. And with the scene we got when they were in Nanda Parbat, everyone was like, okay, we're good. We're good forever. And then we get this cheesy, we're going to drive off into the sunset
rom-com scene. Ending.
Yeah, rom-com ending to the episode. And I was just like, I can't, no.
Well, here's my question for you, though. Mm. They have been laying it on thick all season that Diggs needs to get a costume. Mm-hmm. Who do you think he's going to be?
I don't know. And I even have a note here that when Oliver and Thea are having the conversation in her apartment.
Yes.
And she's like, so, Red Arrow? I have a note here that says, so we're going to be Red Arrow now? Will we have a red opening sequence come the fall? What about Felicity? Is Emily Bett off the show? Like, I've got 40 questions sitting here. Like, wait, what's going on? What are we doing? And Stephen Amell even said, he's like, I'm never going to put the Arrow suit back on. I went, what are we doing?
Hold on. He's never going to put the Arrow suit back on.
I know.
Green Arrow has a different costume.
Yeah, but like he can't do that either.
Yeah, he could.
I don't think so.
He could.
But I agree. I'm wondering who Diggle is gonna become. You know what's really funny? My mom watches Blue Bloods.
Uh-huh.
And he is the mayor on Blue Bloods.
Oh, wait, Diggs is a mayor?
Yeah. So every time instead of saying the actor's name, every time I see him, I'm like, Diggle! The first time I did it was like a week ago, because I come home at the wee hours of the morning and Blue Bloods is just on the TV because my mom falls asleep to the TV on.
Right.
I came in once and she was awake and she was watching and she was doing something on the computer. And I came out into the living room with, a cup of something, tea maybe. And I excitedly went, Diggle! And she just turned and looked at me like I had lost my mind. And yeah. Now she knows, but I had to explain it to her. I was like, he's Diggle from Arrow. And she goes, who's Diggle from Arrow? I went, you need to watch the show. We'll talk later.
Well, then there was the whole, I once spotted him on an episode of, I think it was like Criminal Minds, and he was like a rapist murderer. And I was like, Diggs! But he had a weird afro. And I was like, Diggs, I'm glad you cut your hair and decided to fly right.
I just hate when they do that, though. When you so love a character, and then they play this like horrible villain, and you go, no. You're a good guy.
No. I do want to say, I have a note, because I don't remember names, actual names of people, but Matt Nable, who is Roz, he made that, I mean, and this also has to do with the choreography and, like, the filming and all of that, but that scene on top of the dam where they're fighting,
yeah,
he made it look so effortless.
He did.
Like, so effortless. And I was like, yay!
Yeah, he was wonderful. And I know early on when Ra's al Ghul showed up, I was griping that it wasn't Liam Neeson.
I mean, as we all were.
Because, for several reasons. I think it's because I'm so used to the Marvel continuity, A, and B, I just love Liam Neeson.
Who doesn't love Liam Neeson?
But I think he made the character his own, and he was fantastic.
Truth.
And if you, yeah, the choreography of that fight scene, and you know, I noticed something, most of the time Stephen Amell does all of the fight choreography.
Yes.
These two guys were hooded.
Yeah.
So when I was watching the fight sequence, I was like, did we shoot this in the middle of the night with stunt guys? Not that it matters.
No.
It's just like the part of me that works in the industry is curious.
Right. Well, the fact that they didn't get nominated. I don't think they got nominated for fight choreography last year for an Emmy. And I was like, that's just bull, right?
It is.
Especially last year with the ship battle.
Yeah. Come on. I know.
So they better get a nom this year. That's all I'm saying.
We'll see.
Or there will be hell to pay.
There will be hell to pay from the It's All Geek to Me girls.
Oh.
They'll be like, who?
Fine.
Sorry.
You will know my name.
You will know who we are. Oh my goodness. So yeah, I mean, I know as the, you know, Elicity Shippers, we got everything we wanted in this episode. It just all seemed too easy. It wasn't easy.
But, no, the city almost perished. That was too easy.
I don't know. It just felt so weird. And I don't know if it's because they're giving us what we want, and I'm not used to a show giving us what we want.
Can we just take a moment to establish the fact, how is anyone still living in Starling?
3 years.
First there was the earthquake, then there was the siege, now we've got a bioweapon. Why are you still living there, people? It's time to get out.
That's like, how is New York still intact after all of the raids, alien raids and crap that goes on in the Marvel Universe? They always destroy New York.
It's true. Even in DC, wasn't it? Oh, well, no, I guess it wasn't. DC fakes names, but it's always New York.
I have a friend who has a theory that that the New York skyline is just a bunch of standees. And it's hiding all the rubble behind it.
Well played.
I know, I thought that was funny. But yeah, no, I agree with you. How is Starling, how is anyone still alive in Starling City? From the beginning of Arrow until now. It's like always in peril.
Listen, okay, so maybe you stay after the whole earthquake thing, right?
It no, I'm sucks. Gonna move. Where does Barry live? Where's the Flash?
Central City.
I'm gonna move to Central City. Bye.
It's not much better there.
Yeah, but it has the Flash.
Well, yes.
We no longer have the Arrow. Let's go with the Flash.
But I'm just saying, maybe after the first terrorist attack, you stay. Cool. Got it. We're on 3. I would have been out in 2. 2 in 2 years, I would have been out. Out.
I can't say that I would have stuck around in at all. So yeah, I mean, I'm sorry that I had issues with this episode, but I did. And they may seem like stupid issues, but I don't know. I got to that end, cheesy romantic comedy ending of the episode, and I was like, no, okay, yes, I understand, like, Malcolm Merlyn is now the head of the League of Assassins, and, like, Diggle's gonna get a costume, and we've got Speedy involved, and blah, 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 but this is
I think what would have been a better ending is if they reversed the Oliver and Merlyn scenes.
Yeah, I agree. I still would have had issues with that, driving off into the sunset thing. It's just, and it's all fine and good, like, yay, go get some happiness, you two, that's great, but I don't know. I get it.
I'm with you. But I'm saying is, if they had reversed the 2 scenes, even though I still would have been like, okay, we're going a little rom-com here, it would have at least ended the season. The final thing you would have seen in the season would have been like, shit's about to go down.
Yeah, and that would have been appropriate. And maybe that's an editing issue. Mm-hmm. I don't know, but I agree with you. At least then you would have had the heaviness, the heavy ending to an episode that would make you go, and now I'm coming back next season. With Oliver and Felicity driving off into the sunset, if you were strictly watching the show, which I'm sure there are some people who do, if you're strictly watching the show just for the two of them, they're happy. You're good. You're not coming back in the fall. You're good. You got what you wanted.
You end it now.
And I mean, I'm coming back in the fall, obviously, but I'm just saying there's probably at least a couple of people out there who are like, okay.
End up good.
I don't need to watch the next season. I'm fine.
Those people are wrong.
So, but because you're leaving us on that note, maybe that's why I feel like it's very strange, because they left us on this silly, not silly, but this like little happy note.
Right.
Which is not Arrow at all.
Right.
You know, there's got to be some sort of heaviness somewhere, and Malcolm Merlyn's scene was that heaviness. You're right. They should have been reversed.
If they should have just switched it.
Mm-hmm. And then it probably would have peaked.
You would have been more satisfied.
Enough. Yeah, I would have had the satisfaction of a real Arrow.
Especially if they had ended it. Oh, look, guys, sorry, you messed up. I have your ending, like, shot right now.
Uh-oh.
So you reverse the scenes. This is when M goes into, it could have happened like this land. So you reverse the 2 scenes.
She's
going to
write some fan fiction on the air. Here we go.
You reverse the 2 scenes. You put the Malcolm scene at the end. But your last shot is of Nyssa's face.
With like a smirk on it.
Yeah, you know she's up to something. Like your last shot is her kneeling. But like the look on her face is going to be like.
That whole interaction between the two of them where she said, didn't she basically tell him she was going to kill him?
Yep.
You just. Oh, that's going to be so much fun.
Yep, see? I told you. I fixed it. There you go. I fixed your ending, Kate.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
You're
welcome. Because it was so facocked. I can't.
Facocked.
that's my new word for things when they get messed up.
I love you.
I was using mucked, but it sounds too much like the other one. So facocked is my new one. Yeah, no. I don't know what to think for next season. Like I was saying earlier, is our title sequence now going to be red? Is it going to be Red Arrow? Is it going to be because Diggle going to become Green Arrow?
Oh, no. Like Ollie will be back. He will be Green Arrow.
I don't know. I'm very curious because it would be...
I mean, Mel kind of said it at Philly Con. Oh, you weren't there.
Ahaha.
He said something about... he's like the only vigilantes, because he had met the wrestler. Sting, I think, is the wrestler.
I know he was very excitedly posting pictures of that.
Right. And then the guy who was doing the whole thing was like, oh, I see you got to meet, like, blah, blah, and you got to meet Sting, and how great was that? And he goes, yeah, but I have an issue, because he used to be called the Vigilante. And he's like, and let's be honest, if there is a vigilante, it's... Green Arrow. And if there are two, it is Casey Jones. If it is three, well then maybe it's Sting. And then the moderator pointed out and he was like, you know, back in like the first season you said Green Arrow. He's like, you just said Green Arrow. And you said Green Arrow was a stupid name. Is that still? And Amel was just like, well, I mean, and just sort of avoided the question.
I love when they give out details that they really weren't supposed to.
Like, well, I mean, maybe it's not so bad. And I was like, So I'm thinking he comes back as comic book Green Arrow, who's, you know, it's a different costume, which absolves him of saying, I will never put the Arrow costume back on. And it's more happy-go-lucky. Ooh, what if he has to get the goatee?
Hey, you know how I feel about facial hair. How many times do I have to mourn for Chris Evans' beard?
I know how you feel, dear. But, yeah, so that would be super exciting, I think. I'm okay with that. But I want to know who they're making digs. Or is he going to be his own superhero?
I'm still not convinced that Green Arrow is going to come back. How can he? He cannot be the Arrow anymore. They've revealed him.
Right.
Well, anyway, I feel like we've talked out the Arrow. Just a couple of little things in TV land that's very exciting. So June 4th is the premiere of the next season of Hannibal, which if you have not seen the trailer for it, it's amazing.
It is Kate's life.
It's not my life. I just am very...
She lives for the Hannibal.
I do adore Hannibal. Hey, I finally bought my San Diego Comic-Con exclusive Funko at Philadelphia Comic-Con.
We won't discuss for how
for
much.
A little too much money, but I got a free Coulson, so
there you go.
You know, they threw in Coulson's fine. But
buy a Hannibal, get a Coulson.
Buy a Hannibal, get a Coulson. That's an interesting catchphrase. But anyway, Hannibal comes back on June 4th. It'll be on NBC. I'm not positive what night of the week that is because I don't know what today is. Today's Monday.
Oh yeah, today is Monday.
Today is Monday. Happy Memorial Day. Take a moment and thank a veteran. I have several in my family. Hmm?
Although you'll be listening to this on Tuesday. But,
yes,
you know,
yes.
Happy belated.
Happy belated. So, yes, Hannibal comes back on June 4th. Orange is the New Black Season 3 drops on Netflix on June 12th.
Does it really?
It does. And then, in some really happy news, which is going back to, I love when they drop things that they're not supposed to, we are getting 10 episodes of Agent Carter this coming season.
10?
Not 8, we're getting 10! I'm very excited, which I'm kind of hopeful means at least one two-hour episode, either
now,
premiere or finale. Hmm?
Does this mean we get less S.H.I.E.L.D.?
I don't know. I don't know about that, because I haven't seen anything about the... I haven't read any official announcements. Haley Atwell dropped that one, I think, at Comicpalooza this weekend. She was talking about the next season and how it's set in Los Angeles, and she said something about 10 episodes. And I was like, well, there it is, from the horse's mouth. So, yes, 10 episodes of Agent Carter, which the more Peggy, the better. And she also said that it is still going to be set in the 40s, but it's like the darker, gritty 40s of Hollywood, because it's in LA, so it's gonna be set like in Hollywood, which will be really fun. Can we have, like, I would love it if there were little not, I mean, there can't be cameos by the actual people, but actors playing actors of the time period. So, like, if Ginger Rogers shows up, which would be hilarious, especially since they already mentioned
she was mentioned.
Yeah, that she's a corporate spy. I was like, this is, yes, please let Ginger Rogers show up somewhere.
Let her be a corporate spy.
Great. It'd be fun. Yeah, that would be really cool. And if they're in Los Angeles, we have the potential to see some of, like, the old Hollywood, like, posters and stuff.
Which is
I'm just really excited to see the costume design and the set design for this, because it's going to be so cool. We already know how I feel about time periods, so, especially with this show. I went ape for the costumes the minute the production photos were released.
That you did.
So, yeah, but I haven't heard anything about S.H.I.E.L.D. and how many episodes we're getting with that. I'm sure we're going to get it as enough. It's never enough. I wish S.H.I.E.L.D. was on all year round. But, which reminds me, I was texting you, but I went back and watched the pilot.
Oh, Lord. S.H.I.E.L.D.
Because it's been too long. You know, it's been two seasons. So I was like, I need to go back and look at, you know, origin. If you remember, we didn't really care for the first half of S.H.I.E.L.D. It kind of had to come into its own, the first half of the first season of S.H.I.E.L.D. But watching the pilot and knowing these characters already is so much fun. Like, Ward appears on the screen, and I was like,
no!
But he's still, like, a S.H.I.E.L.D. agent, and we don't know his undercover identity yet, and Sky is still annoying. But Coulson had some amazingly sass-tastic lines that I forgot about completely. Like, he calls Loki the Asgardian Mussolini. I mean, there were just some amazing, amazing one-liners. And, like, Maria Hill calls Thor a god to Ward, and Ward's like, I wouldn't really technically call Thor a god. And she goes, haven't been near his arms.
His arms.
It just, yeah, it was a lot of fun. So I watched through that, and I started watching the second episode as well while I was working yesterday. Because I try to throw something on in the wig department that I don't have to pay attention to, but that's interesting. So it was a lot of fun. But anyway, so there's just a little bit of TV news for you guys. So I'm sure on June 4th, whatever show is around June 4th, after I watch the first episode of Hannibal this season, I will be going nuts for it. Because that trailer, which I have tweeted, and I might have, I don't know if I did write up for it on the blog or not, but it's...
You might have.
I tweeted a trailer yesterday that actually includes some commentary by the cast.
Oh, snap!
And Jillian talking about Bedelia's character... Ooh. Like, she's so mixed up in it. It's just, I can't wait for this season. This show is so cool.
I love how excited you are.
Well, I would, and I'm, again, it's not my life. It's just a really awesome TV show.
It's your life.
Oh, stop. But anyway, you guys, we will get a blog post up for you soon with links to the things that we talked about, more so Arrow and the like.
We'll link some Arrow stuff.
Yes, from this wonderful podcast. But until next week, I'm Kate.
And I'm Em.
Have a good week in Geek.